Well, now it's time for some sport with Warwick Hadfield. And in Warwick, in rugby union, the whisper has become a roar. Teenager Jordan Pataia will be one of the starting centres for the Wallabies against England in the World Cup quarterfinal tomorrow.
Yes, Geraldine. We first got wind of it yesterday morning, and then later in the day, the confirmation came for what is being called one of the biggest selection bombshells in Wallaby history. That confirmation came from the coach himself, Michael Checker. Now, look, just a couple of weeks ago, despite Pataia's status as the next big thing in the game, it was enough for him to be played on the wing, and even then, his time on the field was carefully managed. But Checker has decided this match, which could end his time as the Wallaby coach if Australia loses, is the moment for this wonderkind to fully announce himself on the world stage. He's been coming for a while, and in fact, he would have made his debut for Australia a lot earlier, even as an 18-year-old, if not for hamstring and other injuries. But boy, to throw him into a World Cup quarterfinal like this. Apparently, he's calm and collected and all up for it. But I reckon Eddie Jones, the England coach, will be thinking about just exactly who he's going to get to run through him in the first 5 minutes. There were lesser selection surprises. Will Genia picked to start at halfback ahead of Nick White, and Christian Lalafano chosen as the fly half. Now, there have been every combination known to humanity just about at 9 and 10 for the Wallabies in this tournament so far, and one of the big problems is whoever's halfback and whoever's fly half, they don't seem to be able to find each other when they pass the ball to each other. So hopefully these two will do a lot better than the combinations in the past. And of course, you know, Genia and Lalafano have been part of those combinations. Now, Australia has not beaten England, as we've already said, coached by that old Ran Wicking in Eddie Jones for a while now, but against that, England has not won a knockout match at a World Cup for, I think it's about a dozen years. I think it might even go back to that time when they won the World Cup in Australia. Mm. But anyway, what it means when you get to the end of it all, it's going to be on. It's going to be red hot from the kickoff.
Would you care to call it?
Look, I think England will win, but it won't surprise me if the Australians do.
No. In football, Sam Kerr is unlikely to play in the Australian domestic competition, the W League, this season.
Yeah, Jess Geraldine, it seems that both her club, that is, Perth Glory, and FFA officials have accepted the inevitable. She's going to apply her considerable trade in England with Chelsea rather than play here this summer. I mean, she has been a huge draw card for the W League in recent years. She won't be the only marquee player missing. The others are Lisa Devanna, who's going to be playing in Italy, and Emily Gilnick. Now, she's going to Germany. Now, look, this has been the case in men's football in this country for a long time. They go and play in Europe and they come back to play for Australia. And of course, there's a lot more money for them. So I suppose there's the positive to go up against the negative of the FFA being a little less glamorous this summer.
Yes, indeed. And in cricket, Warwick, history is being made when the Women's Big Bash League starts in Sydney tonight. And the first Pakistani player in the competition.
Yes, Geraldine, it's not that long ago, 20 years or so, in fact, that on religious grounds, women in Pakistan were banned from playing not just cricket, but any sport at all. Now, Nida Dar is part of a new generation in her country, and as you've said, she becomes the first Pakistani to play in the Big Bash, or the Big Balderdash, as we call it so fondly here on RN Brekkie. Now, the 32-year-old Dar, playing for the Sydney Thunders against the Sixers, says she's aware of her place as a role model in her own country, and hopes her journey to this country, it's the first time she's been to Australia, will encourage other Pakistani women to take up the game. Now, half Dar's age and still at school, folk will also be keeping an eye on Phoebe Litchfield. Now, she's known as the Orange Phenom. She comes from Orange in the New South Wales Central West. That's the title they call her in the local paper out there. And also in the men's game, 3 Sheffield Shield matches start today as all the Usman Khawajas and others look to impress the test selectors. There is a vacancy, as we know, in the Australian top 6, thanks to Mitch Marsh, who took on a wall and lost.
In surfing, Warwick, Sally Fitzgibbons is through to the quarterfinals of the pro event in Portugal as she chases the world title.
Yeah, look, she's behind Carissa Moore and Lachie Peterson, the two Americans in the world standing at the moment. So if she is to win the world title this year, she needs to make her move now in Portugal. This is the second last event of the year. She needs to wait until the elimination rounds. That's for all the losers of the seeding rounds that were held yesterday. She needs to find out who gets through those to know who her next opponent will be. But of course, her real opponents, as the rest of the year unfolds, are Carissa Moore and Lachie Peterson.
And in thoroughbred racing, the Everest, the big race, or whatever it is being run in Sydney tomorrow.
Geraldine, this is the
event. Sorry, I'm editorialising there. I shouldn't be saying like that.
Geraldine, this is the event in which Sydney wears its equine inferiority complex at its loudest and proudest. It's being run at Royal Randwick, and only for the third time. Santa Ana Lane is apparently the favourite for a big share of the $14 million prize money. This is shouted at us as the richest horse race in the world on turf. Of course, they don't run on grass in America, hence that qualification. Also on tomorrow, the Caulfield Cup. It's only worth $5 million. But it's got 142 years of history. Of course, that's going to be in Melbourne, which is why some people are looking down their noses at the Everest, and people in Everest on Everest or in Sydney, which is the same thing in some people's eyes, are looking down at Melbourne and calling them parochial. Sydney people calling Melbourne parochial. There's a hard news story. Anyway, right about now, one of the relative outsiders, Crown Prosecutor, is undergoing a fitness test before that race tomorrow, Gerald.
Okay, and all of that, of course, coming up against in the context the spring Carnival coming in the context of those terrible pictures last night on 7:30 Report, which I forced myself to watch. And we're going to be following that after the 8 o'clock news. Thank you, Warwick. Have a lovely weekend.
Same to you, Geraldine.